Hey everyone, this is Rob Motti. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Faith on a Field Show. If you want to hear any of our previous episodes, please check out our website, faithonafieldshow.com. You can also subscribe on every major podcast channel like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, and TuneIn. Please like, share, and leave a review so others can find out about the show. We appreciate your support, and here is this week's episode presented by Cairn University. Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy Motti and Pastor Kyle Horner. And before we even start, happy 21st birthday to Connect Church, where Kyle is the senior pastor. You guys celebrated over the weekend. It looks beautiful.
It does.
Yeah, it was great.
How's it feel to turn 21 as a church?
We feel like an adult now. I feel like an adult.
Finally growing up.
No, it's exciting. I think we're hopping into a new season all the way around, and especially at our Cherry Hill campus where we're, you know, in the midst of building a brand new building and which will be a state of the art auditorium. And so we're excited.
I love it.
We talk about envisioning things and looking ahead. And when you want to put something together, God's plans are always bigger than ours. So
always.
When you started this,
yeah,
back 21, what was it, 21 years ago? I mean, the idea had
October
to be,
18th.
Yeah. The idea had to be in your head, in your mind, even further than that. Like, how far back do you?
Yeah, I think 7 years before we started the church, Danielle, my wife, and I, while we were dating, we just kind of really felt like God had a church in us that was a little bit different than what we grew up in, and wanted to make sure that we were helping people find a relationship with Jesus and not religion, and yet still, you know, honor those things that came before us. Because there's a lot of great, you know, we have to learn how do we, you know, God is a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? So we honor those who have come before us. Mm-hmm. We make sure that we are relevant to the generation that we're in. But then we also resource the generation behind us, right? So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I think that's kind of how Dee and I looked at it and said, you know, we stand on the shoulder of giants, right? Mm-hmm. This faith has been passed down by men and women who have gone through things that we can't even begin to fathom. To be able to give us this faith and bring us faith. And, you know, so we wanted to make sure we honored that and honored God in it. But then we wanted to make sure that we were relevant in our generation.
Right.
So how do you take the timeless truths of Jesus and present them in a culturally relevant manner? It's what Jesus did, right? He talked about fish and loaves and wheat and all sorts of things. Why? Because they were fishermen and farmers and they understood. And but then we also want to make sure that we resource the generations that come behind us. And that's not always on the forefront of people's minds, because especially in America, we want, right? We are so focused on what I get now and the success that it brings me
you
now.
You want to see the rewards immediately.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Right. But God's got a legacy, right? So, you know, God's got a legacy. And I think so that's what his children should be about as well. So that's why we care about young people. We care about kids. We want to make sure we don't babysit. I know, Remy, you guys have two daughters that come here. You know, it's not about babysitting. We want to empower you. We want to help parents, right? Yeah. Disciple their kids, because it's hard in this world to disciple your kids. So
did you say something about October 18th?
October 18th. That was our, first Sunday. 32 people.
Let me tell you something. That is a good date, because that's when he proposed to me.
Come on.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's awesome.
October 18th, 2011.
Did you just forget again?
Yeah, 2011, October 18th.
That's when I proposed to Danielle.
No way.
No way.
Yeah.
Are October 18th.
Yep.
How about
this
that?
This has to be the most prophetic date.
I know, exactly. I agree. I think
are you kidding me?
I'm just saying, if you're thinking about marriage out there, October 18th.
October 18th.
It works.
I love what you said about being relevant. And what you guys do, and you do so well, is you balance being relevant, but you don't compromise your moral fiber. You don't
Absolutely.
Compromise the word.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll see in our generation, people put being relevant above what God's word says. And I'm sure sometimes that might be a difficult balance, right?
Always. Yeah, always. Look, I mean, you know, I think, buddy, in all of this world, we have to live in the tension between being culturally relevant and spiritually significant.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is, though, we could never jeopardize spiritual significance for cultural relevance.
Yes.
Cultural relevance is the tool, but spiritual significance is really the means. It's what we want to do. It's the goal, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Jesus came to make the Word of God alive. He was the living Word, right? So he said, if you want to, you know what, you want to look what the Father looks like? Look at me. You want to set, you know what the Father sounds like? Listen to me. So he, but he did it in a relevant manner, but he never jeopardized spiritual significance for cultural relevance. And so, you know, we have to live in that balance in church all the time between presentation and presence, you know, making sure that we have a great presentation, but making sure that people aren't attached to the presentation. We have to help them get attached to the presence.
I love that so much. It's so good because the presence is everything. I mean, if you have the presence, everything else comes. It's, you don't have to strive for anything. It just comes. When he's here, you can feel him. When he's around, you can feel him. When he's in your pastors, you know it. And when he's in the people that show up, the atmosphere shifts, things happen, and you feel like, whoa, this is like a move of God. This is not something, because church cannot be an experience every Sunday, because it's not about an experience.
Correct.
You know, it's about, it's about transformation every single Sunday. And if you're not being transformed, you're just getting an experience like, oh, hooray, this feels cool today.
It's not like going to a movie.
And you're going to a movie.
You come out, you saw a movie, and you want to review it, and this was great this week, and this wasn't, I think sometimes we probably put too much emphasis on who's delivering the message as opposed to what is the message.
Absolutely
because
right.
Because not every pastor or not every person who's up there delivering the message is going to have the same style, the same delivery, the same approach. But it's all about what are they saying, not how are they saying it, and how are they entertaining you. Some people just want to be entertained. And
And honestly, there's people, and I'm one of those people. I like simple stuff. I like simple messages.
Yeah.
I feel like simplicity is everything. I mean, Jesus used fishes and loaves and fig trees and things like that just to simplify the most significant messages he wanted to say.
Absolutely.
And it's all about being simple. It's really not about complexity. It's not about saying things so elaborate. You just want to say things to hit people where they're at, because there's people from all walks of life and they just want something to touch their heart wherever they're at right now. And you guys do a great job with that. Like, it's pretty awesome, because I cry every Sunday. It's just how it is.
So do I. So it's all good.
It's cool.
But I love what you just said, because that's a challenge for each of us.
Yeah.
All right. So it's not just a challenge for the pastor in the pulpit. You know, I challenge our pastoral teams all the time that we have to communicate to a 12-year-old as much as we have to communicate to a 72-year-old, So the message has to be able to be communicated and understood at variety of levels. Exactly. The
that's
truth.
Not easy.
And
that's
not easy.
No,
it's
not.
But I think that's the challenge for all of us, because in our daily lives, we're going to come into contact. We don't need to make this gospel difficult. The gospel is easy, right? The love of God is easy. The grace of God, the mercy of God. Mm-hmm. When we complicate it, a lot of times, I think, Roman, because we're confused about who God is. So we speak out of what we know rather than about who he is.
Right.
And so that's always the challenge, is, you know, my greatest challenge is to be vulnerable and authentic while I'm up there, but not allow the lens through which I see God be the lens through which I communicate. It's got to be the lens through which God wants to communicate himself to people.
True.
And that's the challenge I think all of us have.
That's true.
And that's what makes a unique experience when you come here. And that's what makes this church, I mean, 21 years, happy birthday.
Thanks,
it's
bro.
Awesome. Yay. Happy anniversary. Woo! Happy birthday. I love it. And wish you as many, many, many more years as we could possibly get to. Our guest this week is former Detroit Lions quarterback Eric Hipple. And we're going to hear Eric's, he's got a powerful, emotional story.
Absolutely.
So we're going to hear that coming up. But I want to ask you guys, you like the bargain shop, right?
Hey, not wrong with it.
Who don't like a good deal?
I love bargains. I like everything, so I never discriminate. Like I go everywhere. I shop everywhere. Yep. If there's a shop with clothes in it and shoes, I'm there.
Beautiful.
I don't discriminate.
But I never want to pay full price.
Oh, no, I'm totally with you.
I just don't
want to pay.
There's always a coupon.
There's always a deal.
There's always a deal. Yeah, even if you don't have one, you just like, you get to the counter and you're like, no, I have this 30% off.
Oh, this boy right here, he does that all the time.
I'm looking at it on the phone.
It's so annoying.
And then they get annoyed and they're like, oh, I got it. I got it.
Hey, 30% off is 30% off.
You know it exists.
I know.
Whether or not I got it in my inbox or not, it exists. Somebody has it.
Look it up. Look it up. I'm like, I don't want to look it up. I just want to pay and go. Just look it up.
It's your money. Like, what?
I love a good quality brand that you get at a discount basement price.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
Those are good. Someone
was just telling me the other day, a good friend of mine, they were at one of the thrift stores, and she found a Burberry coat. And it was like brand new. Someone had just donated and.
Give me the name of that.
That's what I'm saying, right? That's a good dig right there. You're in a thrift store and find a Burberry coat.
All right. Okay.
But see, we could do that when we're shopping.
Right.
We're looking for clothes. Yeah. We're looking for a deal. I never want to pay full price on a car. You never want to go into the dealership.
No. Of course
you want, man, you want to negotiate. But when it comes to being Christians and living out our faith, we can't really bargain hunt. Like we can't, and we try it.
How often
do we try and bargain with God? I know I've done it.
I can
go back to a mess. I mean, a mess, big time mess. And I was scared and I was like, God, if you just get me out of this,
I know.
If you get me out of this, I'll do.
It was 2008, and I was like, just get me out of this one. I will never do another thing wrong. I just need right now.
Yeah.
I mean, this is big time.
Just get me
out of this one. And then sometimes it doesn't have to be as serious. It could be like, give me that job. Give me that promotion.
Give
me that
raise.
And if you can give me that. Maybe I'll give more.
It's always something more. Absolutely right.
But I need you. I need you to give me more before I go out.
Don't we all act like 4-year-olds?
Oh, totally.
So, and here's the thing, though. I think when we try to bargain with God, I feel like there's a couple things, three things I put down that we do, and one of them is we kind of treat God as a scorekeeper.
100%.
Like he's up there saying, okay, what you did just now, that's worth a touchdown. That's 6 points.
Yeah.
Touchdown, 6 points,
right.
Honey, in case you were wondering.
Whatever,
That's in football, by the way, just in case. Yeah, okay.
Maybe this act, what you just did for me now, it's a field goal. It's worth 3 points. You know, so
that one.
Totally scoreboard.
We treat him as a scorekeeper, but God isn't a scorekeeper. He's a God who loves us no matter what.
Correct.
So, and number two, I feel like when we try to bargain with God, we actually are being presumptuous. Like what we have to offer, He really needs it. Right?
Right,
like, hey God, if I do this for you,
correct,
or if you get me out of this, like he's not lacking.
Correct, that's really good.
He don't need us.
Yeah, he's not lacking.
Right, he's not lacking.
Yeah.
He's not
right.
So we're being presumptuous. We need him.
Right,
he's God.
He's really got
everything. Yep. And the other thing I feel like we do when we're trying to bargain with God is we're actually saying that we know better than him.
100%.
And we think that our outcome. The desired result that I want out of this situation is better than your plan. So the truth is we should not try to bargain with God. You know, bargain all you want at the store.
Yeah.
Bargain all you want at the dealership. Bargain all you want as you're trying to get discounts off stuff. But with God, you know, we can't try and bargain with him, barter with him, or make a deal with him. I think we should accept his terms. Because really, when you look at his terms, you talk about simplicity.
That's
right?
So simple.
It's pretty simple. He made us this incredibly generous offer.
Yes.
This is an incredibly generous offer.
Free, by the way.
Here's a free, generous offer.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's the best gift. Yeah.
A relationship with him through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And what do we do in return? Submit ourselves fully to him and offer our lives to Christ. And he promises then in return, we get this ultimate gift of eternal life.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think, Rob, what you just said is right. When we bargain with God, and I've done it on numerous occasions,
even
no
as a
doubt.
Pastor.
Look, you know, and it's part of my story kind of becoming a pastor is wrestling with God and saying, but God, if I can go play professional football, I can make more money. I'll give you more. I'll have more. You know, all the stuff, right, that you bargain with God because you think you know better. And that just comes out of what your heart is. But it really is misunderstanding the love of God. Because God doesn't give us things because we beg him into submission, right? I mean, this isn't MMA with God. He's tapping out because you got him in the sleeper hold. He gives because he loves,
right?
The Bible says that all good gifts come from above, the Father of lights. He loves his kids, so he wants to give. It's never about the reason that we're not receiving many times isn't because he doesn't want to pour it into our lives. Mm-hmm. Is that we're out of alignment with the ability to receive what he wants to give into our life.
We drove down and hit that pothole.
Absolutely. We get out of alignment, right? We start pulling to the left and then we're begging God to kind of fix us. Mm-hmm. And we don't need to, the right action is calling out. Right? Mm-hmm. If I need help, call out to God. Right. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Mm-hmm. It comes from God. And so it really is the base understanding that God loves you and that love is free. And when you love your kids, mm-hmm. I don't give to them because my son because he deserves it. I give to my son because I love him, even when he doesn't deserve it.
There's many times he doesn't deserve it.
Right, exactly. Right, exactly. God knows. No. I mean, you know, how weird would it be if your girls came home and they were hungry and they're like, "Mommy, please, I'll do anything to get dinner." Right, I will do anything. I will clean my room better if you give me dinner.
That's heartbreaking.
Right, that's not why you give them dinner. You give them dinner because you love them.
I would not even eat for days to feed my kids. Are you kidding? When it comes to food,
dinner, snacks, this guy over here. You wanted a cupcake, honey? Yeah.
Oh, this guy. He ruins all like the healthy stuff I do for my kids.
But you know what else I do? I do this. I don't just give to the kids. See, sometimes Remy, we know how she's phenomenal in the kitchen and awesome chef and everything.
Absolutely.
That you make.
Thank you.
Sometimes she'll make usually it's like a fish dinner, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, you know what, babe? I love you so much.
You don't do fish, do you?
Because he doesn't like fish.
Honey, you can eat this. I'll have a couple bites, but I love you so much, you can have it.
That's when I know you don't like the dinner I made.
When you say, I love you so much, you can have my fish.
That's when I know he doesn't like. You know what took the cake yesterday? I made this meal, right? With ground beef, my kid's favorite meal. Ground beef, puts vegetables in it, cook it. It's so simple, yet delicious.
Yeah.
My kids love it. They eat it with pasta. We eat it just like that.
I would love it with pasta.
Well, we don't do carbs right now. So he takes the first bite and he goes, "This tastes like meat." I'm like, "What the? It is meat. It's just too much like meat. I don't like it." I'm like, "That's a whole different level."
I never say I don't like it.
But anyways,
I always offer it to you. Like,
he offered
you
it back
so
to
much,
me,
I'm
as in, like,
you.
Here, you eat it.
So let me make sure this is right.
This is sad.
Generosity is giving away something you don't like.
That's generosity.
I just want to make sure that I'm right.
Now we could go back to like growing up in Catholic school. When we had to give up things for Lent and everything else.
So you gave up stuff you didn't like?
Oh, I always would give up anything I didn't eat. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to give up ham and bacon. I'm going to give up.
There's supposed to be a sacrifice.
As I got older, I gave up beer and stuff like that because in wings, I don't eat it. So I was like, you know.
Well, sacrificing is biblical.
Right.
Except for David says, I will not give unto God something that hasn't cost me something first. That's not a sacrifice when there's no cost to it.
Yeah,
just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I mean, like fasting and all that stuff is pretty good.
That's what's interesting, Rob. I do think what you were saying earlier, though, is like we are so used to bargaining our way out of things, right? Or trying to get things on the cheap. that when it comes to sacrifice, it's one of those things I think in the Christian community in America today that we really don't understand. And it's kind of become one of those four letter words, even, you know, really talking about sacrifice. Because sacrifice is something that, every man or woman of God it's foundational to discipleship, right?
Yeah.
But you know, John the Baptist says, now is the time that it has to be less of me, Yeah. Mormon, I must decrease, right? Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That you might increase. And that's that sacrifice. David talks about, hey, I know that there's going to be a sacrifice I have to make, but I won't do something.
Yeah.
I won't try to give God something that doesn't cost me something. So, no, there is. Like when we talk about discipling our kids, making sure they're in the house, making sure that they understand God, there's a time commitment to that. There's a sitting down and reading the Word of God with them when you could be watching TV. There is sacrifice to these things of our time, of our talents, of our treasure.
Yeah. I find time to be the biggest sacrifice.
Oh, I think time in today's world, absolutely.
For me, time is the biggest sacrifice, the biggest, absolutely the biggest one. Like I'm putting the kids, Monday Night Football's on.
Yeah.
I got the game paused while I'm up there just giving the girls a quick kiss and little prayer and going back to watch the game. And one of my girls, Alexia, is like, Daddy, aren't you going to sit with us? I said, not tonight. I'll sit with you tomorrow. And I said, and then I felt bad. I'm like, I am prioritizing this football game over sitting with my girl who wants me to sit for like 10 minutes till she falls asleep. And I said, I'm going to do a better job sitting with you. I will. I promise. I'm going to do a better job sitting with you the rest of this week. And she said, how about playing with us too? I was like, oh man, it's never just one thing. Like, you know, all right.
Asking for though is time.
It's just time.
It's the innermost interesting thing, Rob, because if you ask a child growing up what they want from their parent more than anything else is time. And yet it's the one thing that you just said is the greatest sacrifice that parents feel or adults feel. And we try to bargain their love by saying, but well, I'll take you to, I'll buy you this, I'll go out for ice cream. And they're just saying, all I want is you.
We make that bargain all the time. If I go get you ice cream, now I can go do my thing.
Correct.
Right? Yeah.
But isn't that what we do with God? The only thing God wants from us is time.
It's time.
It's our attention, right? And we go, but God, I'll give you. I'll pay. I'll send somebody on a mission trip. Right.
I'll do these.
And it goes back to what I was saying. Like, absolutely. He doesn't need anything from us.
Correct.
He doesn't.
He just wants us.
He wants us. He wants our devotion. He wants our commitment. He doesn't need anything from us.
The thing is with bargaining, and I've heard this one thing a long time ago, a few years ago, probably like maybe 7 or 8 years ago, that just struck my heart. Which is live a life of excellence every day. Not perfection.
Absolutely.
Live a life of excellence every day. Excuse me. And every time I feel like I'm doing something kind of not 100%.
Halfway.
Yeah, halfway. I go, live a life of excellence. That's how Jesus wants you to live. Live a life of excellence. And it goes down to like the mundane little things, like when you're shopping and you put something in your cart that should be in like in the freezer section, but then you're like,
it's really far.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to put it there. And then that thing rings in my head, live a life of excellence. Go ahead, walk all the way to the freezer section, put that item back because that's just wrong. Or you're looking at clothes, right? And then one fell on the floor and the hanger's hanging right there. Live a life of excellence. Preach. Put that thing right on there.
We were just talking.
I do that.
Don't you hate when that happens?
When you try the clothes on, right?
Go put them back.
I do too.
Well, my team, we were just talking about this last night. My team, they are so frustrated with me because I don't wear sweatpants like when I go out to the grocery store.
Right. Uh-huh.
I'll get dressed and they're like, you're killing me. And I'm like, no, because I don't know who I'm going to meet in those moments, right?
Do some nice sweatpants, Kyle.
No, I get it, but I'm just saying.
I hate sweatpants.
And they're like, you're raising the bar too high. And I'm like, the bar can't be too high.
It's excellent.
Right? So you put the cart back in the cart return.
Thank you.
Even if it's raining out.
Thank
you don't leave it in the
Thank
spot.
You. Yes.
And it's not about, do I think you're a bad person or less of a Christian if you do those things? No. It really is, Remy, for me anyway, it's a challenge of surrendering myself. If I'll pick the easy things on easy things like that, I will always pick the easy things on hard things.
Yeah.
The Bible talks about training yourself, right? We got to train ourselves. You know, we talk all the time about training to reign. I'm training to reign. So, the guys who are out there playing on a Sunday, they don't just go out there and play on a Sunday. They play the way that they practice.
That's right.
If they practice poorly, they will play poorly.
If they're late to a team meeting, if they're late to practice,
come on.
That reflects it.
Absolutely right. So we as fans sit out there, and I'm sure there's a lot of fans listening today,
no doubt.
And we complain about the performance of people on the field. And I wonder if we hold ourselves to that same standard of practicing hard in our lives.
That's so good. Yes,
right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's
but then the fans will say, well, I paid good money yep. to be there.
And Jesus and paid really okay. good yeah, money, exactly. his life yeah, and blood. You are not your own. You are bought at a price.
Amen.
So you are bought and paid for in an excellent manner. So that the reality is, are we looking at ourselves and saying, am I putting as hard of a energy and effort into practicing excellence, practicing
yes.
holiness, practicing life,
yes.
practicing the presence of God on my Monday through right Saturday?
It's
as,
hard. It is
no,
not.
I, 100%.
We're not saying this is hard stuff. Okay, when you're putting that meat back on in the freezer, that's hard. Okay, because that requires
Absolutely.
It requires you to go back all the
way. I know
way
it's extra time. Exactly
section.
Right. I'd rather
you know
just
I mean?
Leave it here.
It's a lot, and then but then. It says in the Bible, if you're faithful in little, you'll be
faithful
in a lot.
Much.
So it's not just about money. It's about everything that you do in your life.
100%.
So
yeah.
when you're done with your laundry and it's just sitting there piling up, you need to fold that laundry. That's
Correct.
The
we, look, we,
you know
takes
what I mean?
Me
we have to fight
sometimes.
Our flesh, Remy, all the time.
Yeah.
There's a real battle inside
yeah.
of us, Rob, but there just really is. And that's why Paul says, I beat my body so mm-hmm. that after I preach to others, I don't disqualify myself for the prize.
Right.
He's not talking about, like, yeah. in what you grew up, you know,
right.
going and beating yourself with whips and saying, right? He's saying, I'm going to make sure that my flesh
yeah.
does not control my
right.
decisions. And if they control them in the easy, they'll control it when it's hard.
Yeah, the body and the spirit are always fighting against one another.
Oh,
the
100%.
Body wants something and the spirit wants something else. And every single day and every little mundane thing that you do, they are fighting against one another. And then you have to recognize that fight and ask yourself, which one do you want to win? The spirit or the body? The
and
spirit
feed it.
Or the body? Every single
yep.
second of the day. When your kid is going crazy and you're like, man, I really want to say this to you, but I'm not. That's the spirit and that's
exactly
the body.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
You know
right.
what I mean? That's like a mom word. You just every day you're fighting that battle, but you have to understand that once you practice that every single day, you do become okay and willing to live a life of excellence. And it's not necessarily, you're not going to look at it sacrifice anymore. You're going to look at it like, I want to live a life of excellence.
Yeah, it doesn't mean we're better than anyone.
No,
like,
it's
it doesn't
not about
mean
better.
Being,
I
living
struggle
a life of excellence.
Every day
yeah,
with that.
It doesn't make you
oh my
better.
Gosh,
and
every day.
Doesn't mean you know, we don't fail. The other day,
I always
never like want. Now, I have a soft spot for janitors. I don't know why. I just do.
I love that about you.
I never want to make a tougher job for them.
Yes.
It just annoys me when men spit their gum in the urinal. Like
yeah,
somebody's got
totally
a physical
bro.
Touch.
Come on.
Like come
yeah.
on. You know
come
what
on.
I mean?
If you're a listener out there, don't
no,
do that.
Don't spit your gum in the urinal. Or you know what? Don't throw your paper towel in the urinal. It doesn't flush like that.
It's just wrong. I agree.
So I always try and I always throw things in the basket. Whatever the other day, and then I always use the paper towel to open a door. If
always,
it's got the
amen.
So I open the door and I'm walking out and then I throw
wisdom.
It back in.
Yes,
and it's always a miss because I'm not good at basketball. Then I go back and pick it up. The other day I missed and I didn't immediately go get it. I walked out, walked back into the store. 15 seconds later, I'm back in the bathroom. Picking
Living
that thing up.
I
just bothered me. I'm like, I can't do it. I got to go back in there and get it. What's it take? 15 more seconds.
No, I know exactly.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Up next, we're going to hear from former Detroit Lions quarterback Eric Hipple on Faith on the Field show presented by Karen University.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia, with NCAA Division III athletics. A strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields. Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at karen.edu.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field show presented by Karen University. Rob, Remy, and Pastor Kyle. If you missed any of our past episodes, go to faithonthefieldshow.com. You can find every show and listen anytime at your convenience. We're also now on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram and follow us on Facebook at Faith on the Field. Sign up for our weekly email list, get our weekly episode and blog delivered right to your inbox. Make sure you also follow us on our personal social media at Rob Motti, at Remy Motti, at Kyle J. Horner. I'll let you know where I'm going to be doing various speaking appearances. I have the Rob Motti Show at Center Square Tavern in Woolwich Township, New Jersey, every Tuesday night. It's an awesome restaurant. They have excellent food, drinks. It's just a great time. wonderful people, fun people. So come on out every Tuesday night, 6 to 8 p.m. There's sports talk, trivia, giveaways, prizes, special guests. It's a great time. On November 2nd, I'll be the guest speaker at a gourmet men's breakfast at the Westlawn United Methodist Church in Reading, PA. Tickets are only $5, so come on out. Great time, excellent breakfast. I promise I'll give you a powerful message. Plus, we're going to have copies of Birds of Prey and Football Faith that I'll sign. So for tickets, call 610-678-5611. Again, it's November 2nd, Westlawn United Methodist Church in Reading, PA, starts 8 p.m. I want to take a minute to thank all of our sponsors. We can't do this without their support, so please check them out on our sponsor page at faithonafieldshow.com and follow them on social media. They are great companies. They're even better people. So thank you to Cairn University, Heritage's Dairy Store, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, California Closets, Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Swedesboro, New Jersey, Restelli Foods Group, Norristown Hospitality Center, and Brenda Lee Usler and Associates. Our guest, Eric Hipple, played 10 seasons in the NFL with the Detroit Lions, and he retired after the 1989 season. After his 15-year-old son, Jeff's suicide, though, Hipple began to work to build awareness and break down the stigma surrounding depressive illnesses. Eric established the After the Impact program, which is a neurobehavioral residential treatment program that serves military veterans and former NFL players. In conjunction with Navy U.S. Fleet Forces, Hipple has conducted workshops on suicide and destructive behavior prevention during the last decade, focusing on mental fitness. His book, Real Men Do Cry, received a Publisher Presidential Award. I chatted with Eric at the Super Bowl when he was a finalist for the NFL Salute to Service Award. Here's that interview. I want to welcome to the show former NFL quarterback for the Detroit Lions in the 1980s, Eric Hipple. Remember your career, I remember you playing. I had no idea what you were about to go through, and what you went through is so moving. Your son dies at the age of 15, tragically, and what that did was allowed you to eventually devote your life to removing the stigma of depression and suicide awareness. Can you tell us about your work with the After the Impact Fund?
Yeah, and it's amazing how things unfold. You never know what God has in store for you, you know. And when I left the game, you know, I was doing great. In fact, I started a business, and I was doing really, really well. But it's a few years out, then all of a sudden just, is this it? It's just all there is. And I kind of lost track of myself and kind of got lost in identity. But it wasn't until my son died that it really just spiraled out of control. And I remember actually did 2 months in jail on a DUI because I was just trying to medicate and everything else.
Wow.
But I remember sitting there, and you got to make a decision. I said, I can listen to all these excuses the other guys have, and I'll just follow track with that. Or I can do something different, and I wanted answers. I want to know what happened, and so that started me into this field of mental health and understanding it all. Worked 11 years with the University of Michigan Depression Center, and then I realized if I can't be the only one, so I started reaching out to other players and found out, oh my gosh, this transition is huge, right? And then other guys are having problems, and then I started reaching out to military service members because the suicide rates are starting to go up. And through all that, it culminated into kind of forming this group called the After the Impact Fund, so we can support treatment, for both veterans and also for former professional athletes that are going through these issues and all kinds of issues, whether it's addiction. I work with Randy Grimes in the Transformations Treatment Center as well. But that transition is really tough, and we get lost, sometimes we lose our foundation of how we got there to begin with, and that's what happened to me.
Through that journey, through that time away and having the difficulties and the addiction and even spending time in jail, how did you rely on the Lord to carry you through that, get you out of that state and help you get back into recognizing and realizing your life has so much more potential and this is what you're going to be doing?
Well, part of it was, my pastor, I started talking to him a little bit and just kind of understanding, I was full of so much pain, but I was also in denial and I didn't want to talk. I didn't want to show that part of it. Right. So I do it this way. But when that doesn't work, you turn. And so that was part of it. And it was actually going back and rediscover the Bible again. The parables and the testament, just stuff that made sense. This still makes so much sense. How come I just don't follow it? And my sister has a mission out in Wisconsin. and she works with female prisoners. And she kept telling me, oh, Eric, you just got to surrender. But you know how hard that is to say? Can you imagine somebody like that's in the military or somebody like in a position like, you know, oh, I don't never give up. I never. Yeah. And then just that word surrender was hard to wrap your hand around or your head around it. And so I will say what I finally ended up doing was surrendering. Not me. Okay, this is yours. But it came to me in a weird way. I realized that, you know, when people are going through something, they don't understand exactly what's happening to them. And the brain is so fascinating to me because it's geared on solving problems. That's what it does. And it does it really, really, really well. But what are you trying to solve? And that's what you got to figure out. And so you finally realize, you know what? Life is a choice. We can make choices all day. In fact, one of the greatest things that God gave us is free will. We get to choose which way direction we have.
Yes.
And so from a same point of view, if I tell that to somebody, I said, you make 35 decisions in a single day. Right? I mean, that's basically it. Think of all the things that you're doing, right? Just so you're making all these decisions. Now, you can try and control every single one of those decisions, and it's really difficult. Or you can make one decision, which is the surrender piece, which is I'll follow you, you know, and I'll listen to you, you know, I'll take your guidance. And that takes one choice. And that's a lot easier to do, and it also makes a lot more sense, and your life changed after that.
When you make that choice, when you fully surrender. See, a lot of times we want to make that commitment, but we put one step in and one step out. We're halfway in. I still want to do things my way. Yeah. Life is a little bit...
We bargain all over the place, man.
but it's I tell people all the time, you don't find that true fulfillment or that real peace until you fully surrender it all. Yeah. Is that kind of how it happened for you? Until you learn, like, I got to give it all.
Yeah, and you know, it's an ongoing process, too. I mean, you do that, and you're all in, all of a sudden, life becomes pretty easy, and all of a sudden, you go, I don't say easy, but life becomes serene and joyful.
Exactly.
Okay? It still struggles, but, you know, you feel in place, you don't feel alone, you don't feel lost. I mean, you feel like you're where you should be, and you're doing, and you feel content and good and peaceful. And then all of a sudden, you get a little ahead of yourself again and start making hedging on it. Well, if I do it this way, and I can still have that, you know, so, no, that's not how it is. Yeah, so it is. It's still a constant battle, but the answer is there. We just have to accept it.
Amen. Eric Hipple, thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us here on the show. Really appreciate your time and wish you a ton of blessings.
Thanks. I got to say one thing, and I've said this before at a couple different believer meetings, right? And I said this at the end. I said, you know, I was always fascinated about when Christ was on the cross, and he turned and said, "Why, you know, are you leaving me at this moment?" Right, and I never quite understood that, but when I lost my son, it is so painful, right, that it's really hard to touch on, right, but so much good has come out of his loss that, so I look at it this way, and I said, you know, the pain involved in losing a son, I cannot imagine what God went through. And having to sacrifice, right? And so we should never, ever, ever look at that in any other way than just appreciate it and embrace it and thank him for the sacrifice that he gave us in his son.
Amen. And when we get off here, I'm going to tell you how that exact scenario helped launch this show.
Is that right?
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Look forward to it.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
That was former Lions quarterback Eric Hipple. We'll talk about the interview next on Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Rob, Remy, and Pastor Kyle. We just heard from Eric Hipple talk about his journey to the Lord and the difficulties that he had to overcome in his life and a lot of the things that he's doing now. And it all began for him sort of unravel after his son, 15-year-old son, Jeff, committed suicide. He talks about and the pain of losing his son. Sometimes we forget that God experienced that pain, like that he went through that pain. And as we're talking about the simplicity of bargaining with God and what we want from him and what he's asking and what we want to try and get and what he wants to give us and all that stuff, it's just really simple. But he knows that. He knows our pain. He knows our loss. He experienced that kind of pain too. So I think that's really an important thing to remember at times. Eric talked about, he said, think of all the things that you're doing. And we make all these decisions, right?
Yeah.
We can, and he said, now you could try and control every single one of those decisions, and that's really difficult. Or you can make one decision, which is the surrender part.
Beautiful.
Which is, I'll follow you, you know, and I'll listen to you. I'll take your guides, and that takes one choice. And that's a lot easier to do, and it also makes a lot more sense. And his life changed after that. And think about that, because we try and control our lives. Some of us micromanage every detail of our lives, right? And, and try and make sure we stay on top of everything. God has already orchestrated most of that. And if we're trying to be in control of everything, how difficult is life, right?
Ugh.
But if we fully surrender to him, I talk about this all the time. When I fully surrendered, when I gave everything to the Lord, my peace came with that.
Yes.
So
correct.
The struggle of paying bills doesn't always go away.
Correct.
It depends on your circumstance. It's not going to always go away. But the peace of knowing that they're going to get paid.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. I'm working. I'm going to get paid. They're going to get paid.
God's got your back.
Yeah. The struggle of anything that you're going through, whether it's a temptation or whatever it is, it may not, it's probably not going to go away, but knowing the peace of knowing that I'm not going to fail. Because
yes.
I got Christ.
Yes.
I'm not going to mess up, or I'm going to be a good husband. I'm going to be a good dad, or I'm going to do this the right way, and I'm going to respond because I surrendered.
Yeah.
And now I'm surrending my control. I gave up I kind of feel like I'm driving, and yeah, I got my foot on the gas pedal, and I'm steering the wheel, but I don't have that full control of where I'm going. I know the destination.
Yeah.
I know the eternal destination, but I know that I'm going to allow God to steer me.
Yes.
And I have to have the flexibility, because sometimes he wants me to take an exit and I don't want to take that exit.
Yes, yes,
maybe
yes,
I want to
yes.
continue down this road.
Right.
Maybe I want my destination in my mind is to go somewhere else, but he will take me off that destination and I will take that exit. And then I have to have the peace in my mind and in my heart to know that it's okay. This little detour, this little exit, whatever it is, I'm going to get back on the main road.
Right.
But I have to go through this right now. So, you know, Eric experienced that, and I think it's a powerful lesson for all of us that if we, as simple as it's not easy, it's not an easy thing to do, because I think a lot of people are control freaks.
I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea. Not at all.
But once you ultimately surrender, man, it's such a good feeling.
Yeah.
It's so powerful.
It's a daily battle. You know, I think, Rob, it comes down to being willing to be humble.
Yeah.
You know, the word of God says, humble yourself before the Lord. Humble yourself, right? It's not someone else humbling you or circumstance. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up.
Yeah.
There's that promise in that. And true humility is the surrender to any responsibility except for obedience. So I'm not responsible to make something happen. I'm not responsible for everything to be fixed. I'm only responsible for obedience in this moment.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what humility is. And it's the ability to say, man, I can't control it, because there's so much outside of my control. And that's the real laughable moment of everything. You think you know, we were talking about kids earlier, and it's like, you try to control your kids, make sure, because your hope is you don't want them to get hurt. Right. Yeah. Good luck with that, because you can't control what goes on in school. You can't control what goes on in their mind. You can't control what goes on in their life. You just can't. But what we can do is surrender to the only responsibility that I have is, what has God told me to do today? What has he told me to do in this relationship? What is how has he told me to be as a husband, as a wife, as a mom, as a dad?
Yeah, and there's a lot of things that life just throws at you, left and right. Like, today is this, tomorrow something else. But I heard something recently where the person said, God is not going to give you a life where he isn't necessary.
Oh, correct. 100%.
So God is always going to be necessary. If you had invited him in already and he's there, he wants to make sure that he's necessary in your life.
100%.
So your life is always going to depend on him. So don't walk alone. He's with you.
Yes.
So if there's a struggle, if there's something that you need to handle today, he is necessary for you.
Yes.
So go back to him. Go back to your place where you sit down with him one-on-one just be like, hey, I need you today to handle this for me. I am not alone.
Yes.
So come in and let's handle this together because I can't do it. You're necessary in my life. It's kind of like water. It's kind of like air. It's kind of like anything that you do in life. God has to be in everything. And it does come with surrendering.
Absolutely.
Because there's a lot of time where you're saying you have to just handle it yourself because, you know, I'm a control freak. So, you know, I handle things myself. Like, let's handle this.
Yes.
I handle things right away. Let's go.
And Remy, it's not void of our emotion. It's not void of maybe even wanting to do something different, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the greatest examples that we have is Jesus in the garden before the cross. Now, our lives are changed because of the cross. History has changed because of the resurrection.
Right.
But none of that would have happened if in the garden he hadn't stopped and said, Daddy, look, I don't really want to go down this road, right? This isn't the path I want to choose.
Yeah.
There's a real thing. I think sometimes what people think when we're talking about these kind of surrender, like it's easy and we're talking about there is real desires that may be different, but it really is trusting the love of God that he knows what's best for us and wants what's best for us, even if it doesn't look good, sound good, feel good, but he really is producing good in our life.
Absolutely.
I mentioned this in the interview with Eric. If we go halfway in and halfway out, anytime we're halfway, whatever it is we do, anything, if we do, if you try and do it halfway, you're not going to get the end result that you really want.
Of course.
And in your faith and your walk and your journey with the Lord, if you're halfway in sometimes and then halfway out sometimes, that's where you may be experiencing a lot more difficulty than you would if you just fully surrender.
You'll
get the halfway. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fully surrender and we will get that. You get that ultimate peace. Doesn't mean everything is right. Doesn't make everything better. Doesn't make everything go away. I'm telling you, if you surrender fully, you will feel that ultimate, that awesome peace. Oh man, this was good. This was fun.
Awesome.
We can keep going. We're out of time. I want to thank everybody, all our listeners and followers. Thanks to Eric Hipple. Thank you to our EVP of Business Operations, Doug Horton. Huge thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman. All the excellent work he does for us on our website, podcast, blog, and everything he does to make us present better. Jim Henderson, thank you for the work behind the scenes. Brett and Ryan, thank you for producing the show. Thanks to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, Enjoy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field, presented by Cairn University. For Remy and Kyle Horner, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.